What's up, everybody? It's Tuesday. That means we got to break down the slate, and usually we have way more games, but this is the playoffs. This is the good stuff, and this is where the wins, they just ring a little bit truer, and the beats are that much heavier. And to go over what we did last weekend and look forward to these four tantalizing games that we have in this divisional round, Joel Holka, Matt LaMarca. Joe, how you doing, baby?
I'm good. I guess to take a little bit of a step back on wildcard weekend, it was a pretty good week overall, but I feel like I got a little bit bailed out because most of the slates that I played every slate, played the showdown slate, played the two-game slate, played the four-game slate, pretty much everything, played on FanDuel, like all of it. Either had a losing week on one of those slates or like pretty close to break even. Had one showdown slate where I did really well and it ended up putting me in the green for the week. So I can't complain, but definitely feel fortunate. I wasn't as heavy on the Steelers, thankfully, as our boy LaMarca was. So how you doing, Matty?
Yeah, not the best week for me. The Steelers, I hammered that early in the week. Felt really good about it. You know, I had like roughly 3 points of closing line value heading into that game. Thought the Steelers were the right side. And then immediately just watched the ball get snapped over Roethlisberger's head for a touchdown. And it was all downhill from there. I mean, The Steelers, I still think it's going to sound like sour grapes, but I still think they win that game more often than they don't. The most epic bad beat I think I've ever encountered. Personally, I was lucky enough to avoid it, but I can say the name of a legal sports book, correct, Joe?
Yeah, I think so.
All right.
I'm fine with that.
So BetMGM posted a rushing yards prop for last night's national championship game on the Ohio State running back, Trey Sermon.
Interesting.
And they misplaced the decimal.
What?
So instead of being like 99.5, it was 9.5 rushing yards.
That's
the
insane.
Starting running back for Ohio State. So I know people that unloaded the clip. As much as you can unload the clip on a prop bet, we're talking over four figures, like as heavily invested as you can get. And literally the first play of the game, he gets hurt and he has to get rushed to the hospital.
Dude, that is
so horrible. You end up getting a gimme of a prop. Like the true odds of winning that bet, probably over 99%.
Dude, I can't.
And you ran into the injury.
I can't imagine going through something like that, because like you're feeling so good as the game starts, and then you realize that like the only thing that can go wrong probably at that point is an injury, and then of course like you're always on the right side of that or the wrong side of that. So like it's not the same exact thing, but like there were people that didn't play Walford at quarterback in the showdown slate. There were still people that had their Jared Goff lineups in, so he gets hurt right away, and those people that didn't switch out their Jared Goff, those are the people that won. Like that is really frustrating. So like that's not the same exact thing, obviously, because at that point you're just hoping to just lap the field for all these people that played Goff. It was just paying the rake, and they ended up being the ones that win, man. So brutal. What else happened last week?
Yeah, I mean, we had the emergence of Taylor Heinicke.
Mm-hmm.
May have played himself into a job. I'm not saying he's going to end up being a starting quarterback somewhere, but during the game, they were literally talking about him finishing his degree online and leaving the NFL and having to get a real job. I think that dude is pretty safely entrenched in the NFL should he want to keep playing.
Did you see that, like, he was on the practice squad for the Patriots at one point, like, came in, like, super early. Brady was already in there watching film. He walked in. Brady has no idea who this guy is. They watched, like, 30 minutes of film together. But, dude, what was pretty cool about that, and I love just, like, a guy like that coming into a game, like, getting an opportunity and playing extremely well. I think it's, like, one of the really cool things in professional sports. People don't realize, like, these guys, backup quarterbacks, third-string quarterbacks, practice squad quarterbacks, they're still super elite athletes when it comes down to it. So a guy coming in, playing really well, you love to see that. But honestly, what was the coolest part about it, his teammates were like really excited for him. You know what I mean? So like that tells you that like he's well liked in the room, which I mean, he's probably a good like character guy on the team. Like these third string guys, like they're probably the ones that are doing extra reps for the wide receivers after practice, like stuff like that. So like the fact that they were so excited for him, like that makes me feel really good for him playing well. So maybe he'll get a job, man. Maybe he's worthy of a backup slot somewhere in the league, and anyone that's like can move like that, like the new NFL, man, those are the kind of guys that it's going to be moving to. It already is, but I mean, we're going to see these Ben Roethlisberger types of guys. Like, I mean, what are we, 5 years away from these guys just being kind of out of the league completely, and maybe a little bit longer with some of these, but I don't know, man. It's going to be guys like Heineke going forward.
I think this could be honestly a big year for retirements. They're saying Breeze has talked about hanging up.
Yeah.
I think Rivers could hang it up, and I really think Roethlisberger could hang it up. I didn't realize him and Marquise Pouncey had this, you know, like connection where they both decided once one's done, the other's done.
Yeah, I didn't
so
realize
it
that
seems
either.
Like they could be on the verge. So yeah, but it does set up a really good round of playoffs, right? Like in the AFC in this round, we kind of have like the future of the position. Mm-hmm. And in the NFC, we have the history of the position.
Yeah.
You know, we've got Lamar Jackson, we've got Josh Allen, we've got Patrick Mahomes, and you know, if you want to throw Baker in that category in the AFC. And then the NFC, you've got Rodgers, you've got Brady, you've got Breeze, and you've got Jared Goff / John Walford. So, you know, who somehow they crash the party, but like just kind of a cool narrative heading into the second round of the playoffs and what should be a pretty fun slate, I think.
Yeah, Dieter just we just got word Dieter will not be back. So it's just you and me the rest of the way here. We're going to make our way through this slate. So I think that if we want to kind of at least touch on each of those, obviously just four games, we probably won't go the full distance here. But as I'm kind of fixing some scenes, Lamarck, tell me what you think about this LA Rams at Green Bay Packers game. The Rams, I believe, opened as a 7-point road dog. This is the first game on Saturday. So chat about that a little bit by yourself, and I'm going to fix the Dieter stuff right now.
Yeah, so interesting game here. The Rams have a lot of questions at the moment, but yeah, this line has still dropped from 7 to 6.5. So the Packers favored by 6.5 at home. They're getting 60% of the early bets and 58% of the early dollars. So pretty much split right down the middle, not a huge edge dollars versus tickets wise. On the Rams side, they haven't announced whether it's going to be Walford or whether it's going to be Goff. I do think it's probably trending towards Goff, considering how he played last week. Aaron Donald is suffering from an injury, but the early indications are that he will be able to play through it. And then we've also got Cooper Kupp dealing with an injury. He went down with a bursitis of the knee, which, as somebody said on Twitter, it sounds like one of those Oregon Trail injuries. Actually, that might have been Pete Overzet that said that. But yeah, he's dealing with an Oregon Trail injury, not dysentery, but bursitis of the knee. So again, there's optimism that he'll be able to suit up, but it sounds like he's a little bit shakier than Donald is at the moment.
That's interesting. I think that like there's probably an argument in favor of at least if Jared Goff can't go, that's probably McVay's preference in some ways. Like the offense just works a little bit differently with someone that's a little bit more mobile. So I think that's a super interesting kind of wrinkle to this game. I think if we just look into it, yeah, normally this time of the week, we don't have a ton to really go on in terms of the percentage of the bets and that sort of stuff. So not a ton in this spot either. I guess if you were to say like one of these teams had a chance to go all the way, like, do you think the Rams defense is good enough to like, I guess, pull up an upset here? The NFC just feels kind of wide open to me. So I'm trying to piece my way through some of these type of matchups.
I definitely had the Rams as live underdogs coming into the playoffs, but the Goff thing does scare me. Like as much as Walford can move around, I still want Goff at quarterback, and the Packers just really scare me, especially considering this game is at home. We talk about all the time about how dominant Aaron Rodgers is as a home favorite, particularly like a home favorite of less than a touchdown like this. He just takes care of business. Green Bay's third in DVOA. They have the best offense in the league in terms of DVOA. They're much weaker on the defensive side of the ball, but the Rams don't seem like the type of team that are going to exploit that weakness. So I think that this was a pretty favorable draw for the Packers. We've seen them kind of have their way with whatever defense they're up against. I don't see why the Rams would be the team to slow them down. I mean, maybe you can make the case that if Jalen Ramsey can put the handcuffs on Devontae Adams, that does limit what the Packers like to do offensively. But I just don't think anybody can put the handcuffs on Davante Adams.
Right. I guess that was the thing that I was talking to with Sigmund Bloom earlier this week. Like, we've seen at times, like, these shutdown corners, like, maybe they go to the second option and then they just double team the first option. We used to see that with Julio Jones a little bit, like, back in the day when Roddy White was there. We'd see them just, like, handcuff one of those guys, double team the other guy. But this is one where, like, is there really a true number two on Green Bay? So, like, why would they even do that, right? So if they can take away Adams, I think they can really increase their odds. So, like, I guess, do you agree with that, that sometimes these shutdown corners, it's not as simple as just, hey, Ramsey versus Devontae? Sometimes it's a second option than a double team.
Yeah, if anything, it might be a detriment, right? Because yeah. I'm sure Ramsey takes it as a challenge. Like, I'm going to be the guy to stop him. When in reality, like, if this was a Patriot situation, right, they would just throw five guys at him and say, all right, let the other dudes beat us.
Yeah.
But Ramsey's not going to he's going to try to step up to that challenge, I think, even though it didn't work out so well against your boy DK Metcalf last week. One thing I will say is that the Packers do qualify for this this trend that I built about fading teams that outperform their Pythagorean win expectation. So they weren't super lucky. They outperformed by roughly 12.5%. But that trend went 3-1 last week. If you backed the Ravens, the Colts, and the Rams, all three of those teams covered. And then the exception was the Steelers did not cover against the Browns. And we already talked about how that game kind of just snowballed out of control. So the Packers do fit that trend. The Rams, you know, it's another team that they're a significant underdog. They have the worst record, but the metrics suggest that the Rams are that the Packers are probably not as good as their record is.
I'm with you on that. I still think let's do a pick for each of these, LaMarca. So against the spread, I still want the Packers in this one. I think it comes down to the quarterback play. Honestly, I might be a little bit more nervous if Goff ends up sitting in this one, because I think that gives them a different look at the very least. So I do like the Rams. I like what they're doing on defense. I guess don't like the quarterback situation. So I'm going to take the Packers even with a 7-point spread on this one. What are your thoughts?
I'm going to take the under, I think, is my preferred side here. Nice. I mentioned the outdoor playoff game narrative last week. That blew up massively in my face. The outdoor playoff unders were just 1-4. But I'm going right back to the well. I'm not letting a one-week sample size deter me. The total here has already dropped by a full point. It was 46.5. Now it's 45.5. 40% of the bets coming in on the under, but 74% of the dollars. So I think that this is a line that is probably going down. We always talk about just like how difficult it is to play in Lambeau Field. You know, it's going to be freezing. You're up in that neck of the woods.
Confirmed
I went
cold.
Out to get my morning coffee this morning in New York, which is not all that freezing. And I couldn't function. Right now you're going to take Jared Goff, this California kid, dump him into the Midwest in the middle of January. I don't know. I think that both of these teams probably move the ball a little bit less efficiently than normal.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point, one that I didn't actually consider. So let's move on to game at number two. This one will be at Saturday at night, 7:15 Eastern time. We got Baltimore. It's 2-point road dogs per BlitzBet.eu at Buffalo. Another game that could see some cold weather in this one. The Ravens, at least when I was looking at it, it's kind of similar. It's just like the Ravens, 65% of the money, only 40% of the bets. So I guess a slight amount of sharp action there on the Ravens, probably a little bit more on the under in this one as well. But when you saw this was game number two, from a DFS perspective, I mean, I just have so many biases in favor of Stephon Diggs now. I was hoping this would be game three or four. But game number two, what were you thinking from a betting perspective here?
Yeah, I mean, that Diggs trade is going to go down as one of like the greatest win-win trades in the history.
Unbelievable. Because the Vikings, like, they would have had to pay Diggs, right? So like they just draft a guy and then they just fall into Justin Jefferson, who like ends up being like a guy that not everyone really wanted in that range anyway. They missed out on CD Lamb. Who was the other guy? T. Higgins, I think, went right before. So like these guys that people wanted.
Second rounder. It was okay, so Jalen Rager.
That was it. Yeah. But most people like had those guys ahead of Jefferson, right? I'm not a big draft guy, but I thought that was what people were talking about.
Yeah. I mean, Jefferson's thing was he wasn't like a target hog at LSU, but you know, LSU has 100 receivers. It's kind of like Alabama, you know, LSU has this guy, Jamar Chase, who's probably going to be either the first or second receiver off the board in the draft this year. So
yeah. Harmon was talking about it, though, that like, yeah, probably just because there's so many bodies where he was, he played a lot in the slot in college and people weren't sure if he could truly win on the outside. And as soon as the Vikings like gave him an opportunity out there, like you realize the type of route runner he is and the way he can separate. So, yeah, I kind of just defer to Harmon on those type of things. But he's been really high on Jefferson since like very early in the season, man. So yeah, win-win. I guess those guys were DMing on Instagram back and forth, Diggs and Jefferson, just like, hey man, glad you had a great season, best of luck. It is one of those ones that truly worked out for everyone. So for my Stefon Diggs rookie card shares, I just hope they go all the way. So I'm gonna pick the Bills on this one. Don't care what the spread is, where you at least the betting side of this one.
Yeah, this one is definitely a game that there appears to be some sharp activity early. The Ravens are getting love. They opened up as 3-point underdogs. It's now down to 2, 1.5, even 1 at some locations. People are just taking the points with the Ravens here. 64% of the dollars compared to 47% of the bets. So it'll be interesting to see where this line ends up closing. I think that this is pretty fair at the moment. Like I've been down a little bit on Buffalo compared to most people, but They're the better team here, right? I mean, they maybe didn't look like the better team versus the Colts. You know, Indianapolis outgained them in that contest, but Buffalo found a way to win. Baltimore last week, they won, but it wasn't the most impressive performance I've ever seen. You know, yep. Tennessee just really couldn't do anything offensively against this Baltimore defense. They bottled up Derrick Henry, and Ryan Tannehill wasn't able to beat him with his arm. I don't think that's going to be an issue for Josh Allen. You know, Josh Allen has been finding success against everybody this season.
Yeah, I think one of my big concerns in this game for the Bills is that they're not very strong against the run. Like, that's pretty much where their biggest defensive weakness is anyway. So, like, Lamar, J.K. Dobbins, Gus Edwards, like, if they just end up running the ball a ton in this game, that doesn't really favor what the Bills want to do on defense. And on the other side of this, what the Bills do so well sometimes is pushing the ball to the outside to Stephon Diggs, to Smokey Brown, outside of last week where he drops a goose egg. So maybe, like, I guess it depends on how healthy that you think Beasley is on the interior. Obviously, they can move Diggs around and move him in a little bit more in the interior as well. And I still think that Diggs can win on the outside against Marcus Peters, but it doesn't fit seamlessly for this Buffalo team. So I don't think it's a great matchup for them in particular, but I still want to be on the Bills side of this one. I do think that the Ravens are a team that I still, like we mentioned it every week, I don't think anyone wanted to play them in playoffs, and they kind of made at least some sort of a statement regardless of how they looked in that game against Tennessee. Tennessee was a team that was not going to be an easy out. So I think this is the game that I'm probably most excited to watch, but in terms of the betting side of it, probably just to stay away, but I'll probably be on the Bills.
Yeah, I agree. I think that this is maybe a no bet. Mm-hmm. The moment.
Okay.
The one question I have is, does this Zach Moss injury do anything for you either against the spread or in DFS? Like, I think Devin Singletary is now going to become a pretty popular option, but I think it might be a trap, right? Yeah. Like, Devin Singletary is not going to get 20 touches even with Moss out of the lineup, and Josh Allen is still going to be the primary ball carrier near the end zone.
Yeah, look at it this way. Like, everyone was all excited about Duke Johnson that one week this year, right? But it's like these running quarterbacks, their first read is not to check it down. So Deshaun Watson could easily run it in as easily as he's going to check it down to someone like Duke Johnson. It's similar in this game where, like, Josh Allen, instead of checking it down to Singletary, maybe he just ends up running a lot more. Like, I don't think Singletary's like this amazing talent anyway, but like, I think the difference is people are going to be deciding between Singletary and potentially Leonard Fournette in one of the later games. So from a DFS perspective, I think I still like Singletary better than Fournette. Maybe that's a bad take, but really tough matchup for Fournette. We'll get to that against New Orleans later on. But the order of these games, it's kind of scary to take a chance on Singletary because, like you said, I don't know how high the ceiling is here, but I think he's going to be really popular. So where do you stand on the Fournette versus Singletary decision, I guess?
Yeah, that's a tough one.
Maybe the answer is neither.
The Fournette has just about the hardest matchup you can ask for. New Orleans, like, we're going to talk about them in a little bit, but they are just so freaking good defensively. They held Chicago to 240 yards last week. Mm-hmm. And And I mean, I know it's Chicago. That's not a huge achievement, but that's what this team has been doing all year. They are the best defensive team in the league. So I guess I agree. I would lean Singletary, but I might try to fade both if there are some other, you know, pivots that I can look at.
All right, let's move on to Sunday. This is the Cleveland at Kansas City game. It's at 2 p.m. Eastern time. These games start at weird times, man. So like the Sunday night game is at 5:40, which is odd.
You might be looking at Central time.
Oh, that
3:05 Eastern and then 6:30.
There we go. LaMarcus saving the day here. So it is a normal day. I digress. But Cleveland at KC, looks like KC in the beginning is a 10-point favorite in this one. So one of the things that I think was the most interesting as I was looking at pricing in DFS last day was that these Browns guys are extremely cheap, Maddie. So I guess what was your initial betting, I guess, thoughts on this one after Cleveland gets out to probably the best game script ever for them just because they want to run anyway? Do you think they can stop Patrick Mahomes and do something similar? This is a tough one for me, man.
I do not think that they can stop Patrick Mahomes. I think if they're going to cover in this game, it's going to be like a 35-28, a 41-34, something like that. Mahomes and Andy Reid with time to prepare is just not, it's not fair. You know what I'm saying? Like, these guys have played a handful of games together now where they have had the week off to prepare. They're 4-2 against the spread with at least 13 days to prepare, and they have scored at least like 30 points in every contest. So they're going to put up a bunch of points is the answer to this question.
A bunch of points. And part of the reason is that I think the biggest like mismatch here is pretty clearly the offensive weapons on both sides, right? Like, I don't know if really Jarvis Landry and Austin Hooper really compare to Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce on the other side, right? So I think there's a chance that, Kansas City just rolls in this one. I think that it's a nice story for the Browns. They get a playoff win. They kind of boss around their big brother in that division. But this is just one where I think it's probably, I think Vegas has it right. It's the biggest mismatch on the entire slate. So if you're going to play this game in DFS, I think it makes a lot of sense to just play some game script and some cheap price tags. But be wary of a guy like Kareem Hunt, who I think could be really popular at his price. But he touched the ball like 11 times last week. Scored on his first two touches. So that one feels like a little bit of fool's gold to me, at least. And on the other side, these guys are so expensive. So maybe this game is somewhat of a stay away if it does end up being popular. I think it could be, honestly, because I think there's going to be some points scored. What do you feel about the total right now? I think it opened at 55.5, which seems like a massive total for this one.
Yeah, it's already up to 56,
wow.
Too.
Wow, okay.
If you believe that the Chiefs are going to hold up their end of the bargain, it really comes down to what do you think the Browns can do? Mm-hmm. And their offense has been no joke recently. You know, I come on here a lot and I throw a lot of shade at Cleveland, a lot of shade at Baker, but those guys have made me eat my words recently. And Kansas City's stop unit is not very good. That's why Kansas City's record against the spread this season has been, you know, pretty pedestrian. So I get all the reasons why this game looks like an over game. It does look like, for what it's worth, the sharp money, the smart money, is coming in on the under at the moment. Mm-hmm. Only 22% of the betting tickets, but 55% of the dollars. This is going to be an outdoor game in Arrowhead Stadium. Like, the under formula is there. So it really is just like you have to determine if you think the Chiefs are going to score 30 or if they're going to score 40. If they score 40, this game's probably going over. But if they get 30, then there's a scenario where the Browns don't do enough to hold it up and hit the over there.
Yeah, FF Doom in the chat makes a really good point. Like, this Kansas City team just hasn't been covering lately. Like, it's not the same thing as like in baseball, you see these inflated numbers for like the Yankees and stuff, like the Dodgers, stuff like that. Like, Kansas City, it's like the Patriots level, to where like people just want to put money on Kansas City, right? So you're always going to see a little bit of inflation there on the line. So I think taking the points is at least reasonable. I think Cleveland, if they want to have success in this game, they kind of have to try and control the ball a little bit. And if they can do that, 10 points might look reasonable. I don't know. This one's, I struggle with these really large spreads and underdog situations. So is this any worse than putting our hard earned American dollars behind the Jets this year, Maddie, when they were double digit underdogs? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I do like Kansas City. The one thing that kind of goes against that narrative is that the public does like Cleveland as well. You know, like there's going to be public support for the Browns as 10-point underdogs. Like this isn't going to be your typical Kansas City game where they're getting, you know, 70% of the public betting.
That's a good point.
So I don't necessarily think that this spread is going to be super inflated, but the narrative does exist where the Browns can control this game with their rushing attack. You know, Kansas City has been dreadful against the run for most of the past couple of years now, but it doesn't really matter because they jump out to so many big leads. So it's one where you're going to have to sort of take a stand on where on the narrative that you think. I am personally of the belief that Kansas City can open this game up. So I'm going to be looking at the Browns pass catchers in DFS. I'm going to be fading the Browns running backs for the most part, and I'm going to be playing the Chiefs to cover this number.
Yeah, one more name that I'll throw out there, Clyde Edwards-Helaire. If you're going to be like getting in that Singletary Fournette range, if you're playing this slate for DFS, like what's the difference between Clyde Edwards-Helaire? He's going to get around the similar amount of touches as a guy like Kareem Hunt, but higher total, all that stuff. So I think that's at least interesting if you want to get different. Let's move on to the last game of the divisional round. So this is one that I thought was kind of interesting. Also, we got Brady, we got Breeze, Tampa Bay, 3-point road dogs per blitzbet.eu at New Orleans. So this is the night game on Saturday, as Maddie was able to correct me. Looks like a lot of big money so far on the under. Outside of that, LaMarco, what are your thoughts on this one?
Yeah, this is a third game between the Bucs and the Saints this year. The Saints have had Tampa's number in the first two. That was another trend that did not come through for me last week, was teams' divisional games in the playoffs. They had been 11-7-1 against the spread, the under, when a team meets for the third time, but 0-2 last week. So the under wasn't great in the divisional game between the Rams and the Seahawks. They think they combined for like 50 points in that game. And then the Browns Steelers, obviously that game went bananas. So we have another divisional game here. I do think that could play a part as to why the under appears to be a sharp target at the moment. Plus the fact that these are two relatively good defensive teams. Tampa has sagged off a bit in that department. You know, we were talking about them maybe being the best defense in the league early in the season, but their secondary has not played as well since then. Still, they have a great pass rush. They stop the run very well. You know, I think that this is a team that could limit New Orleans a little bit through their defense. So this game might be a little bit lower scoring than some people anticipate.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think there's somewhat of an argument, too, that like some of the matchup, at least very early on in this year, like Brady wasn't playing at like this elite level. You know what I mean? Like he didn't really I don't think Antonio Brown was even there. But now he's like, nope. He's got Evans, he's got Godwin, he's got Brown. They're all dialed in. We got Gronkowski out there running routes. You know, this guy wants another Super Bowl. So I think it's a nice narrative. That Tom Brady could kind of come out of this NFC that's not very strong in general. The Saints, though, like they've just had some playoff heartbreaks, man. Against the Vikings these last couple of years, doesn't it feel like I guess they don't have as much hype as they have over the last couple of years? Like it's still a similar team, a team that's very good on defense, a team that can get it done on offense. Also, I think there's a chance that we might actually see a little bit more Taysom Hill than we have recently, just because I think that is the matchup you probably want to attack for the Bucs. They've really struggled against running quarterbacks this year. So I think there's a chance that we see a little bit more Taysom Hill in this game. I do like the Bucs in this spot. I know they're currently underdogs on the road, but I think it's interesting to, I guess, go after an under in a game where it's indoors in the Superdome. So both two very good defenses. I don't know if either team's going to have a ton of success running the ball. But I think Brady has just been playing at such a high level that I kind of want to be on that side of it. Which side are you on?
Yeah, I think I'm going with the Saints. I haven't dug in and done, you know, my full normal amount of research that I will do. This will be part of my write-up for this week. So I think that tentatively I am on New Orleans. It just feels like you said that New Orleans is not getting the proper respect that they deserve. You know, this has been one of the best teams in football all season, and they're just not being talked about that way. For what it's worth, These are the top two teams in total DVOA this season, according to Football Outsiders. Yeah. New Orleans is one. Tampa Bay is two. It's because they're so balanced. You know, both of these teams are great on both sides of the ball. But the one thing that we have to consider is just, can Tom Brady, it's another potential bedtime game. And no, just in all seriousness, like Tom Brady has not been as great in the playoffs as an underdog as he has been as a favorite. Like, we're talking a small sample size here because he is very rarely an underdog.
Was my question. Like, how big is that sample of him being a dog?
2-3. Okay. He's 2-3 against the
spread. That's not that bad.
Yeah. And his regular season record of being a dog over that time frame is very good. So maybe it's just a small sample size anomaly. But yeah, I mean, for what it's worth, the sharps seem to agree with you early. They've dropped this number from 3.5 to 3. So I think 3 is kind of where it's going to settle as. I can't really see a formula where it gets down to 2.5. But I think if it goes back up to 3.5 again, it's just going to be a lot of Tampa Bay money coming in.
Yeah, I mean, these close games like this where these teams are so evenly matched, sometimes it just turns into like who wins the turnover battle, right? So like who's going to make the most mistakes in this one? I think it's going to be a really close game. I think that's the spread makes a ton of sense. It could come down to who's going to make that play on that last drive. And I mean, my money's on Tom Brady for that. I'm not even like a big Tom Brady guy, LaMarca. I just think that like all he does is win, man. There's no doubt about that. I said this with Sig earlier this week that like part of me is kind of rooting for Tampa Bay a little bit because like in this division, I wasn't rooting for the Seahawks. I'm definitely not rooting for the Rams. So that's out. My Cardinals are out. So like I have a hard time. I always kind of think the Packers are a little bit of a fraud because that division is so horrendous. So there's going to be some team that bullies the Packers around at some point, whether it's this week, whether it's next week. So that kind of leaves like New Orleans and Tampa Bay. So this is like an interesting narrative, I think, to kind of capture in the NFC. And I would just love to live through like the Brady dominance and just like talk about that 10 years from now. So I think it'd be cool if they at least got to the Super Bowl and see if they could take down either the Chiefs or who do you have coming out of the AFC, LaMarca?
The Chiefs.
Yeah.
It would be fun to pick somebody other than the Chiefs, but it's just hard to see that happening. I mean, I was so excited for that game earlier this season when it was Baltimore against Kansas City. I planted my flag on the Ravens. I was like, revenge spot. They're going to just run the ball down their throats. And they couldn't sniff Kansas City in that game. So Buffalo probably has the best chance to beat them. They're kind of like a KC light, but the big difference, not that Sean McDermott's a bad coach, but like Andy Reid is an offensive genius. He's going to come up with something. I think they win it all again, as boring as that sounds. But I would love to see Drew Brees get back to another Super Bowl. Yeah. Like you said, it kind of feels like he's been jobbed.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that pass interference non-call 2 years ago against the Rams.
The Diggs catch against the Vikings. Like, dude, they've had some bad breaks in the playoffs, man, on some really good teams, like Super Bowl contending teams. So that's rough. Like, Brees only having one Super Bowl. I mean, that's kind of rough, man. He probably deserves another one. So that you can't, I guess, fault him. You can't be, I guess, rooting against Brees in that way. But Mahomes Brady would be fun in the Super Bowl.
Mahomes Brady, Mahomes Rodgers, I think would be great. Really, Mahomes anybody's going to be fun as long as Jared Goff doesn't weasel his way back in there.
Yeah, I'm with you. All right. Any final thoughts on this slate, LaMarca? I'm going to wrap it up a little bit early. Obviously, less games to choose from here, but shout out to Dieter and his hamster wheel internet. But man, I think this is going to be a fun weekend.
Yeah, I'm excited. They used to say that this was the best weekend of the year for NFL football. Right. You get theoretically the 8 best teams squaring off against each other. Mm-hmm. Now that they've added another game to Wild Card Weekend, maybe you can say that Wild Card Weekend is better. But this should be a good one. I'm really excited for that Buffalo Baltimore game. Hopefully it lives up to the hype. I'm excited to see if Aaron Rodgers can continue to produce like this. I mean, Rodgers is going to win the MVP, right? I think that's pretty much a done deal at this point. So he's had a resurgence. I would love to see him, you know, with another statement in the playoffs. And then, I can't wait to see Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes turn Kansas City into a giant Christmas tree with how many points they're just going to light up on the scoreboard.
Love it, man. Everyone should check out Maddie's breakdown on the betting side that will be up on linemovement.com over the next couple days. Make sure you follow Maddie on Twitter as well, at Matt LaMarca. The amount of followers this guy have for the amount of knowledge he's been tossing is completely egregious. So check that out. Obviously, we will have our shows on Sunday and on Saturday, same as last week. No Thursday show this week. So make sure you let us know in the comments who you guys have winning the Super Bowl this year, or at least getting there. I think this will be an awesome week of football. Toss a like on this video. Consider subscribing to the channel. Of course, this is on Apple Podcasts as well. So if you haven't checked out the podcast version, definitely leave us a rating and review as well. Going to make sure and edit out all of the stuff with Dieter, which was an absolute joke. But we'll see you guys next time.